Hey, this is Amber for the Leading Hearts Instant Writers Conference podcast, and I am so thankful I got that out the first time. And we are with Rod Kettleman, one of the DJ extraordinaires with the dinosaur of the radio industry here at 99 Hit FM. Thanks for coming to the show.
Yeah, Rod. Thanks for having me here.
I appreciate having someone with such an eloquent voice on our radio show today. And this is happens to be take two because we lost the whole first podcast.
So this one is the Rod Pod.
This is the Rod Pod, and he's going to take control. I wanted to have Rod on the show today for many of you just starting out in the writing and speaking industry about how to get your name out there, how to connect with DJs like Rod who are kind of untouchable. In the industry.
I'm easier to find than you realize.
Exactly. But you did take a long time to become my Facebook friend, so I'm very honored and appreciate that. Now, how does a new speaker or a new author come in to the whole radio scene?
Well, as you mentioned, I'm one of the old school radio guys where I do everything live. Recording, live radio doesn't work for me. Live radio is live radio. A lot of radio stations, what I call the new age of radio announcers, they like to record all of their interviews so that they can make sure they're perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, they can have every and every little space and breath taken out so they can play them back. Well, you know, when you do that, you take the energy out. You take the life out of it, out of an interview. You suck it out of there. And you hear a lot of these radio interviews, they're stale. Mm-hmm. They have no life to them because they're so perfect. We're not perfect humans. When you have a conversation with somebody, you know, there's stammering, there's you know, things like that happen. Yeah. And that's when you know you're talking to a live person.
Yeah.
So I like to do my interviews live. Mm-hmm. One of the things, too, is you need to make sure that you're available for the DJ, for the radio station. They go on their schedule, not your schedule.
Yes.
I get so aggravated with people wanting to do interviews. They say, well, I'm only available at this time. I was like, I'm not. And I'm not going to adjust my schedule to make your schedule. So number one is be flexible and be available on the radio schedule of the DJ or the radio station or the show. Be available to their schedule, not your schedule. Another thing, too, is offer free gifts. People like gifts. We're all little kids, you know. We all like to get the free prize out of the Cracker Jack box or the cereal box. And you know, they like prizes. Make them good prizes, you know, not just a little old chintzy thing.
Starbucks
like
card, that would work.
Yeah.
Walmart card.
Walmart card, gas card, you know, savings bonds, new house, new car.
Yeah. You said you even got some free toys.
I got some free toys. I had an interview just a couple of weeks ago. She was a toy expert and was going to be covering the new toys at the toy convention and wanted to interview about the toys. So they offered me toys that I could give away to my listeners if I had her on.
Yeah.
And she got the deal.
Yeah. Or secretly play with in the back, you know.
Exactly. Between songs.
Yes, that would be
so
awesome.
But you know, rewards for the interviewer usually go a long way. And make it good, too.
Now, what are some of the biggest mistakes people make when coming onto the radio and doing an interview for the very first time?
They're too serious. Yeah, they're too serious about selling their product. Mm-hmm. That, you know, their whole intent is, I got to sell my book, I got to sell my product. And they're so serious about that they lose the spontaneity, they lose being real. I like to, when I interview people, I like to find out about that person, mm-hmm. what they're about, where they grew up, you know, what they eat on the road when they go traveling, you know, what's one of the weird things they do, boxers or briefs, you know, peanut butter, jelly, no peanut butter, Oreos, you know, they like them. Things like that make that I get to know the person. You can always sell your product, but if people become more attached to you and they'll listen to you more, if you become a real person rather than or they come pitching their product again.
Yeah.
There's so many pitchmen out there, you know. People are tired of it. But hearing somebody that's real, I mean, you look at it when you watch some of these talk shows at night with some of the late, you know, like Jimmy Fallon's the best. Mm-hmm. He is the best one because He brings the person out away from the movie they're pitching or the product. Mm-hmm. You know, they play games with them. They have fun. People love that. Yeah. So it's the same thing. Be real. Be who you are and let them get to know you. Share a little bit of yourself with them.
And to be honest, that's how you became a great DJ, you know, is the ability to share what kind of muffin you're eating in the morning.
Yeah. Or wear the wrong shirt, you know.
Show up to your radio podcast and we secretly know you're broadcasting from your house.
Exactly. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you don't. I've even broadcast from a hospital bed. Nobody knows.
Tell me about some of maybe the greater interviews that you've done, some most memorable interviews that you have.
Well, like I said, when, you know, interviews that are fun, where you get to know the person a little bit better outside than trying to sell your product. You know, I get a lot of artists that, you know, they're doing Street Week where they're pitching their new album. It's coming out this week, you know, you need to go buy it on iTunes or whatever, that kind of a thing. So I get a lot of artists that want to come by the radio station. Actually, I get fewer artists than do come by the radio station. Mm-hmm. Making yourself touchable, within reach, is always a good thing. But one of the memorable interviews I had was where I had this young girl. She was a brand new artist. She was out, you know, trying to get acquainted with radio stations, let them get to know her. She came by for an interview and found out about her family life that her dad was a potato farmer. Mm. So I said, well, we need to call your dad and talk to him. I said, is there any other stories you can tell me about your dad? And she goes, well, you know, he was very concerned because we were traveling, and what we were traveling in was our family's old RV, because she was brand new. She could afford a bus or new vehicle, so she was going around the country in her family's RV that they went on vacation with. And before they left, he had the alternator changed out because he thought there was problems with it. So they got a new alternator, and I said, okay. So we called up her dad, and that's all the information that I needed. Yes. I called him, and I said, hey, this is Joe Bob from Joe Bob's Mechanical Place. You got an RV? I got a young lady here who's got an RV, and something's wrong with the alternator. Just made a big deal out of it. I said, oh, man, you got more than the alternator's problem. It's just a big old. And he said, I just changed an alternator, and it should be fine. And I go, well, I got this young girl. She's stranded, and her credit card doesn't work. I gave her, you know, just all in all, we took it. Finally, we all started laughing. And Dad, it's okay. I'm at the radio station. But he was out picking potatoes during the interview. But, you know, she still remembers that. He still remembers it, you know, one of the highlights of her radio station tour.
Yeah.
You know, so those kind of things are always fun to do, you know. Yeah. But we had fun with her, and everybody remembers her. She remembers me, you know, and it's a great experience because we got outside her pitching her single.
A lot of people maybe just starting out think, well, maybe I don't have enough clout to get on the radio. What are some tips that you've seen as a...
I would do this. I would find a local radio station in the town that you live in and find out if they ever need a special guest co-host that you'd like to come in, and you say, I'd be, you know, co-host the show. Because, number one, it gets you into the radio station. And not every station may be able to do this, but on my show, I mean, I'm able to bring in a special co-host to help me with the morning show. Mm-hmm. And I've got this one lady that comes in, you know, about once a month or so, and she's a book writer, too. Mm-hmm. She's great on the radio. She's got something to say. So I invite her to come by all the time. But she's been able to promote her book, that she writes a book, that mm-hmm. she goes out and speaks at conferences and things, and gets a little bit of notoriety from the radio show. It helps her, but it also helps me by having a good, you know, personality and, mm-hmm. and somebody that has something to say. And you know, she writes these great little books that she can talk about, you know, a little chapter, a little insert on her book, you know, that she can share with the audience. Yeah. So it gives a great free exposure, but helps me out as well by having a special guest on the show.
Yeah. And it's amazing too, even with the connection that someone like you has, that a lot of times if you hear a great story, you pass it on, and all of a sudden they are opened up and exposed to a greater ability to be published or get their stuff out there.
Yeah.
And that's such a valuable resource as far as networking in this type of an industry. But it's really about being relatable and having those good interactions. Now, radio is such an important element of, I know that a lot of times I spend more time in my car listening to the news and listening to what Rod has eaten for breakfast in the morning than I do actually.
It's usually pizza.
I know, or Egg McMuffins.
Yeah, yes. That's the other thing.
Yes. How would you say the influence of radio is in this culture to getting the word out?
I think radio is still the most important medium out there because, like you say, it's so reachable. You flip on, out of all the mediums that we have Spotify, we got Pandora, we got television, we got podcasts. That's the only medium that you can go and flip the button on and it's there in your car. You know, you don't have to plug it in like cable or, you know, satellite. You don't have to go online to try to find something. It's there. It's instantaneous. It's immediate. Radio's still immediate. Whenever there is a severe thunderstorm or tornado warning, people don't turn on Spotify for the information. They don't go to Pandora for the information. Now, some people go to the website. Some people go turn on the TV. But instantaneously, you can turn the radio on and the information is there.
Yes.
On the radio stations that are doing what they're supposed to be doing, you can.
And radio has such a further reach because of technology. And you you guys broadcast all over the world through the internet.
Exactly. And our apps, you know, and from Android and Apple, you can put it on your phone, it can be in your pocket, and you can turn us on anywhere in the world.
That's such a great way. It is more approachable than trying to get on a TV station. Tell me a little bit about some of the people would think, well, maybe I don't have a voice for radio, or I have a lot of quirks. Maybe how can I do live radio interviews?
Well, voice is not the key. I mean, you know, some used to think that you got to have a big booming voice, you know, to get on the radio. That's not the key anymore. It's all about personality.
Yes.
People are drawn to personality. They're not drawn to the voice. If you got the voice, great, but mostly it's personality. Yeah. And
what if you don't have a personality?
Well, then you're in trouble. But I'm sure everybody's got a personality. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they just don't let it out of the box. I always say that when you're in radio, I'm a shy guy, to be honest with you. But you've learned through the years to come outside yourself, you know, and that's something you got to learn to do. But I believe everybody's got a personality. You just got to be able to show it somewhere. If nobody is looking at you, you're probably singing to the top of your voice in the car. You know, you're probably making fun of something or making crazy voices. There's personality in there. Yeah. You just may not show it. My wife is very, very quiet, but she's got personality. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it pops out at home. But, you know, like you get her. I brought her to the radio station once because she said, I'm going to tell all these stories about you on the radio. So I brought her in. It was my birthday. She was coming in to surprise me. And I brought her in and she froze up. All she could do was just laugh. Okay, here you are. Here's your opportunity. Tell me. And all she could do is just laugh.
Yes. Well, see, that might be a key to opening you up in the radio realm. Bring somebody along who might bring
it out, exactly, that you're comfortable with. You know, if you're not comfortable with the DJ, then bring somebody that you're comfortable with and, you know, work together. Like, for instance, I have another friend that wants to be on the radio, but you put her in front of a microphone and she is stiff as a board. Mm-hmm. And so one day her husband came in with her. She was a totally different person. I was like, when you come again, bring him with you, because that helped her to, you know, open up.
Yeah.
Because she's so used to being around him on a day-in, day-out basis, being her normal self, So she wasn't the stiff she was on the radio.
Yeah, and that's why, like, the fun in the morning show with Rod is so much more fun when he actually has somebody to be
yeah,
fun with.
That's what I think. Thanks for telling me.
Because frankly, without that second person, Rod is very boring.
Yeah, yeah, it's not so much fun. It's the in the morning show.
How would you encourage a speaker to become more confident in opening up to interview opportunities?
You know, the best way is just to keep doing it over and over again. Experience counts for a lot. Mm-hmm. If you're worried about what you sound like, you know, tape yourself. Do a mock interview with somebody or a friend. You know, call Amber, have her come and interview you. You know, and tape it and, you know.
And see then what, have her lose the interview. Yeah, then tape it
then
again.
Then erase it and do it again. But, you know, do a mock interview. And, I mean, if you look at some of these presidential candidates and some of these politicians, I mean, they sit down and they have mock interviews and kind of go over how they're going to present themselves. Mm-hmm. Do the same thing.
You know, in this live radio arena, I know you have become comfortable with it because that's what you do. How would you encourage someone who is afraid that they might say the wrong thing, like have a Paula Deen moment or something?
Well, I said, I've been doing this a long time. I know what my boundaries are. I know what my lines are that I won't cross. I kind of know what the rules are, at least for my radio station. And for me as a personality, yeah, what I'm going to say and what I'm not going to say. I mean, yeah, there's certain areas that I don't go to. And so for myself, I already know.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably a good idea if you're going to be going in for an interview, that you know what your boundaries are that you don't want to cross.
Exactly.
Know what the radio station is about, you know.
Exactly.
So that you're not going to cross that. So just kind of have your parameters already set. But still at the same time, don't be afraid to give up a little bit of who you are and so people can still get to know you. I mean, that's the key. Mm-hmm. You want people to get to know you as a person, because if they get to know you as a person, then they don't feel like you're just trying to sell something and shove something down the throat.
Mm-hmm.
So be yourself, and don't forget, don't feel too intimidated by giving a piece of yourself away.
Yeah, and I like what you said, you know, about knowing the station you're going to. This is a positive radio station.
Right.
And this is a Christian radio station. You want, and you know, we have a lot of people from different faith backgrounds coming in here to do interviews.
Right.
And there may be stuff that you don't, even in that realm, you don't want to put it out there.
Right.
So it's good to know the audience.
I always go with interviews trying to keep things neutral.
Yes.
So you're not, you know, offending too many people. I mean, you're going to, you know.
We offend people every day.
Yeah, exactly. Some people get offended for everything, you know. So, trying to keep things neutral. Unless the question comes out from who's ever interviewed, something specific that, I mean, if they're not afraid to ask the question,
yes,
then don't be afraid to answer the question.
Yes. So we really need to kind of be prepared.
Yeah.
In that, and how are we going to respond?
How are you going to respond? I mean, even politicians that are running for political office, they go through a question and answer mock interview, say, okay, what if somebody asks this? How are you going to respond to this?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think it would be a bad idea for somebody to do that. You know, if you got the time and the money or whatever to do a mock interview and go through the potential questions that somebody's going to ask you, or how to, if they ask you a question that you're not comfortable with, how to steer it around and get back to where, you know, where you want to be.
You can say no comment. I mean, a lot of people do that.
Yeah, but you can say it in a nice way, too.
You can say that.
Say, well, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a thing, rather than being so, I mean,
uppity
about it, and taking yourself serious. I have no comment. I mean,
you have to talk to my lawyer.
Yes. Yeah, let me get my lawyer before I answer that question. You know, interview's over then. You know,
just kind of be prepared for where you're willing to go. Any final kind of nuggets of wisdom that you would give besides just being comfortable? Nuggets of wisdom. Post-its of truth.
Post notes of truth. I think the key to the whole thing is being real.
Yeah.
Be authentic. We hear that so much. But it is true. People want to get to know who you are. They will identify with you if they feel that you're giving them something real. I mean, we can spot a fake a mile away. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look at the people that you encounter on a day-to-day basis. If you go to a restaurant and you've got the waitress that's, here's your stuff, here's your stuff, here's your stuff, compared to the waitress that's, hey, what's going on, you know, and starts interacting, kind of gives you a little bit about their day and what's been going on. Or, oh, I got a, you know, a kid that wears that or plays with that. Or, I mean, the waitresses that come down to your level get the biggest tips. The salesperson that becomes real with you when you're out buying a car or something like that.
Yeah.
The one that says, I'm not pressuring you to buy a car, you know, tell me your situation and, you know, starts interacting with you. Those are the people that get the sale.
Exactly.
So it's the same thing. Even on radio, one of the things we say, you know, be a personality, be real, be who you are, talk about things that you like. Don't talk about things that you think other people want to hear. Be yourself. And that is the key to everything.
I love those interviews and that you interview this person and all of a sudden 15 minutes later you feel like their best friend.
Yes.
Those are the most connecting. Those are the most memorable.
You're wanting to be on a show or something like that so you can sell your book.
Yeah.
But if you sell yourself, mm-hmm. your book's going to sell on its own.
Well, tell me about the importance of social media and getting yourself out there and being the person instead of just selling something.
Yeah, social media can be really good for getting your name out there. Mm-hmm. But one of the best ways to do that is, again, as we've talked about, being real. Let people know who you are. You know, if you're using social media to sell your book, don't be posting something from your book every day. My book, I got this in my book. You know, here's a little excerpt from my book. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But being real, talk about your daily life. Oh, man, I burned chicken tonight.
Yes.
You know, things about your daily life that get people, again, get to know who you are. Yes. You know, fun, crazy stuff. Then they start, well, you know, this person, you know, has got a life like I do. Oh, we'll see what they're doing today.
Yeah.
And before you know it, they're following you and they're keeping a track of what your life's about. Then your book comes up, you know.
Yeah.
And you become their friend. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to be telling their friends about you and say, oh, by the way, this person's got this book. You should check this out.
Yeah.
So, again, you're selling yourself. You're doing it on social media as well. And the product goes along with you.
Yeah. I know some of the most poignant interview moments that I've had is asking Mariah Peters if I could look in her makeup bag, you know.
Yeah.
And eating Stephen Baldwin's French fries, you know, for someone to allow me to offer their plate of food, that was me entering into their space, and I thought that was a poignant moment where we really did connect and become
and
best friends.
And they probably remember you. Oh yeah, you're that person that ate my fries.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he actually thought I would do it. So there you go.
And then another thing too is, you know, starting out, establishing these relationships. Always remember who befriended you first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gave you an opportunity when nobody else would. Remember that person. If you ever become, you know, a billion-dollar bookseller like that, remember the first person that gave you an interview.
Yeah.
Always remember that person.
Well, you start out in country music, so, and you have quite an amazing...
Yeah, I started in radio. I was in country radio for quite some time, and... They had a thing in Nashville, they still do, it's called Country Radio Seminar. And one year I went, and they have a reception for all the artists and the DJs. And I went to this reception, and all the top country artists were there, and all the DJs were trying to get their autographs and get their picture. And, you know, you had Reba McEntire and all that, those kind of people, that caliber. And there's one guy that was there too, but nobody's talking to him.
Hmm.
And he's standing in the corner, just kind of lonely. And his record rep comes, Roddy, I got this new artist. He says, would you at least come over, say hi to him, take a picture? I go, yeah, because you never know. He could be famous one day.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, got the picture. His name was Garth Brooks.
Oh, we don't know who he is. Not at all.
So I still got the picture of him, you know, wide-eyed, like brand new green guy, you know, in my studio. And... A couple years later, I went to a country radio seminar again.
Hmm.
Well, this time, Garth Brooks was the hot artist. And so all these DJs and photographers, everybody was trying to get his autograph, and they were waiting in long, long, long lines trying to meet him. You know, and he was signing all the autographs and stuff. And his road manager goes, okay, we've been here too long. Gosh, got to move on, do some other things. No more. We're done. It was a cutoff right here. And I was I'd come in late that day, and I was in the very end of the line. I was like, great. I just wanted to, you know, say hi to him. So his road manager took Garth and took him into another room. Comes back out and he goes, hey, you, come over here. Pointed at me. He said, come back with me. So I went with him. I said, what's going on? So I went and what took me in this room. There was Garth Brooks. Garth shook my hand.
Wow.
He said, thank you for everything you've done for me. I appreciate it.
That's awesome.
He remembered me 2 years later.
Yeah.
That's something to say, you know.
And I think it's great that you remember the DJs that helped you out. And knowing how Rod Kettleman likes his
Egg
McMuffins.
Yeah, my Egg McMuffins. My pizzas. My new cars.
And your toys. And your $50 Starbucks card. Yeah. Remember, you might get on 99HitFM if you send a $50 Starbucks card.
Exactly.
In care of Rod Kettleman.
That'll work.
Or a trip to Europe.
That one of those two, yeah. airline tickets.
Exactly. Thank you, Rod, for being with us today. We really appreciate it. And, as I said, you can listen to 99HitFM online or on your mobile phone device.
Right. Just go to 99HitFM.com. That's the website. Or go to Apple or Android stores and look for 99HitFM. KADI is the app. And you can listen to us and take us with you wherever you go.
Well, I just want to say in this interview, Rod, you are awesome.
Thank you so much. So are you for having me on the show.